Well, good morning. Good morning. Great to see you, of course. Great to sit together. So we are in the week of Pinchas, and I'm always delighted when there's women in the Torah portion. And this week there's two scenes of women that show up. So this is I'm picking from a talk that I was asked to give for Or HaLev a year or so ago, a couple of years ago. And Or HaLev is a wonderful Jewish meditation center in northern Israel, founded by James Jacobson Mazels. And Or HaLev means light of the heart, or we might say enlightened heart, which perhaps contrasts with the heart of darkness. Both of those poles, the enlightened heart and the heart of darkness, are apt descriptions of our experience as human beings. Torah-wise, we're in Sefer Bamidbar, literally the book of in the wilderness, and in English, the book of Numbers. So our teacher, Aviva Zornberg, aptly calls her book about Sefer Bamidbar. She calls it bewilderments. That the Midbar, the dry, bewildering desert that we cross as our lives, despite our many stories about it, is in essence bewildering. With journey from birth to death, with so much out of our control and so much possibility. The parasha is bracketed by two stories of women, each one a different way to be with the bewilderment of this life. The first narrative is the woman suspected by her husband of sexual betrayal, a quote unquote trial. Will determine her guilt or innocence. This is the trial. A man brings his wife to the priest, and Zornberg says her passivity and muteness are highlighted by two passive verbs. The priest brings her near and stands her in the presence of God. The priest makes her swear and drink water with the name of God on it. Aviva Zornberg suggests that it represents intolerable uncertainty, and subject to rituals beyond her control that determine her fate. Then, towards the end of the week's parasha, Pinchas, is the story. The Torah story of the five daughters of Zelophehad. Their father has died, and he has no sons to inherit the land. So the daughters become enmeshed in a legal struggle. In contrast to the Sota's intolerable uncertainty, the five daughters step forward, take action to claim their right to inherit their father's land, because they have no brothers. The Torah describes the sisters with the same verbs as the Sota, but this time in an active verb form in Hebrew. Vatikravna, v'ta'amodna, the sisters come close to the male jurors. They stand their ground, they stand the pressure. They stand for a personal vision of justice, a vision of justice that God will then corroborate. Both the Sota and those five daughters are inside of us, in each of us. I practice bringing loving attention to a frightened, silenced Sota within me. There's a part of me, for example, after 50 years of teaching, I can still tremble to come forward, to speak my truth, to offer my perspective. And when I bring awareness to the five daughters in me, I'm fueled into action. I'm also reaching for the silenced Sota. I take her hand, I shower her with compassion, and pledge never to leave her side. And this helps bind her wounds and mine and opens new ways to express truth, deepen connections with others, and make a difference. My meditation practice is a practice of coming close, vatikravna, becoming intimate with an ever-changing moment-to-moment reality. And I take a stand, vata-amodna, in the midst of life's flow, as it is right now, rather than how I desperately wish it were or dread it to be. Moved by the energy and clarity of the five daughters, I come close and stand in what arises and passes inside me and around me. It's a process that cultivates courage and wisdom and nurtures insight and proactivity. We're always in the midst of a turbulent journey through the wilderness, on a wild spinning planet, hurtling through space and time. Just as the letters of the word dibur, speech, are found inside the word midbar, wilderness, so we too wander through a thicket of language, conditioned by and conditioning our lives and times. We rail against our repetitive stories, our ancestors, our fellow humans, our society with all its intolerable uncertainty. And we come close and take a stand, even as it feels like we can't stand it. This opens a possibility that our speech and our actions may be transformed and transformational. When the daughters do not remain silent and have the courage to call out for compassionate action, God responds with a hearty, "Ken, Ken, yes. Yes, their plea is just." And this is the first time in the Book of the Wilderness that God congratulates humans for their speech. In the wilderness, God has heard the Israelites' words of complaining, scheming, rebelling, doubting, sore moaning. And you could sum it up that God hears our greed, hatred, and delusion. Our practice is to renew our commitment to come close, to stand in this moment with ourselves, within ourselves, and with each other. Thus, to be able to bear this moment of being alive with things as they are, to stand this breath, this body, this heart mind, this nation, and this world as it is. When we pay loving attention to that which is noticeable, we stand in it, and we stand it, and we stand in it. Then our voices and action come from a different place that may be received by the Holy One of Blessing as Ken. Yes, you go, humans. I love that one of my teachers, Sylvia Boorstein, exclaims that meditation, she meditates not to understand her life, but to stand her life, to bear it. And our meditation is a practice of bearing, of holding close these brief moments of being alive. whether with the unbearable or the ecstatic, or the ho-hum, bringing awareness, paying attention, when the mind turns away from light and into dark, or darkness to light. Against the backdrop of this lush, green, and flowery summer, with everything in raucous bloom here in New England, there is a fear of the dangerous turn of our nation. We take a stand to turn towards the pain and the beauty, and towards what's harrowing by strengthening compassion and courage that may, God willing, enable our actions to have impact. So many organizations with so many hundreds of people working hard to deepen compassion instead of spreading fear, to protect the vulnerable as our government undoes the safety rails. Our practice asks of me to renew my commitment to come close to the breath of life in each moment. Our practice asks of me to renew my commitment to come close, take a conscious breath, to watch it go, filled with the God-given chance to be alive right now on an ailing, miraculous planet. When we take a stand together in the middle of our lives and world, we can find ways to protect and help each other. We experience God's response to the daughters of Zelophehad. God says, "Ken, yes, you go, speak rightly, fairly, solidly, justly," to which God, according to Torah, says, is to speak beautifully. Zornberg writes that for the first time in the book of Bamidbar, whose main issue has been the issue of dibur, speaking and misspeaking, for the first time in that 40-year chronicle of unhappy human forays into the realm of language, God at last congratulates human beings on the aptness of their words. As usual, Zornberg perhaps unintentionally describes how mindfulness unfolds. When we act from fear, from need, from habitual conditioning, difficulties multiply or seem intractable. But when we sit in silence together and watch the fear and love arise and welcome life like a wailing infant, we experience the wanting and the not wanting, and our vision expands a bit. Our practice opens possibilities for insight, for action, for love. It offers the gift of shift. We might say shift happens. Being able to shift into mindfulness enables action to arise based on our sense of justice and of connection with care for each other. When the daughters of Zelophehad come close and take a stand, possibilities open for tzedek, acts of justice, and for rachamim, acts of compassion. When I was young, until I was out of the house, I equated Judaism of my Reform temple on Long Island with activism. So after high school, I chose to go to college at Brandeis University because the year I was applying for college, Abbie Hoffman was there, Angela Davis was there, Herbert Marcuse, the great thinkers and activists of our times. But of course, by the time I got there the following fall, they were all gone. They were cast out for being too radical. But there was still incredible spirit of activism sprinkled with spirituality. Rabbi Al Axelrod being with a great deep heart and mind, and an activist rabbi asked me to bring my guitar, when he found out that I'd been at the Reform Jewish summer camp Eisner, where Shlomo Carlbach had been singing a song leader. Our Brandeis professor, Gordy Fellman, may his memory be a blessing, organized us to join with Harvard to block the Army ba Boston Army base, and then the Newton Draft Board to protest the war in Vietnam. 60 of us got arrested on both counts, and we were brought to trial. The judge must have found our words just, Ken, yes, or maybe we were just lucky because we were white. That he sentenced us to a continuance with finding. That was clever because continuance with finding meant that we would not have to serve our prison sentence if we were not arrested again. Very effective in keeping us silent and silencing us. But if we were caught disobeying the law, we would have to serve both sentences, a very efficient muzzle on our activism. I learned only decades later, after I graduated, when I returned to Brandeis to take my first sabbatical at the Brandeis Women's Center in order to finish my first book, Women and Gender in Early Palestinian and Jewish Nationalism. I learned that those years of radical activism almost destroyed the relatively new and young Brandeis University. People withdrew their funding when they saw what we were doing. But Judaism, for me, continues to seem synonymous with activism, with deep spirituality. Like the title of Rabbi Alan Liu's book, May His Memory Be a Blessing, Be Still and Get Going. When we get to sit with the pain and the glory of this being human, our actions may hit the mark, or perhaps just not deepen the polarization and the pain. Very apropos to news that came out yesterday, today, which I will not mention. And we were accompanied and buoyed by the amazing music that Jews were making on a national and international level, including but not limited to Peter Paul, not Mary, and Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen. Music and activism, Judaism and activism, Judaism and music. And now, as an old lady, I'm still making music and activism of my Judaism. So the Sota and her five and the five daughters are inside of each of us. And I practice bringing loving awareness to a frightened, silenced, and seemingly powerless Sota. It's the part of me after 50 years of teaching that still feels like breaking silence to speak carries danger. When I bring awareness to the five daughters, they reach for the silent Sota. They take her hand, shower her with compassion, pledge never to leave her side. And each time I return into awareness of this moment of aliveness in breath and in body, I come close to becoming intimate with Vatikravna, an ever-changing reality of an indescribable life. I take a stand, v'ta'amodna, in the middle of life's flow, whether with courage or with anxiety, to face and honor everything that arises within and around us. The Torah often seems to describe this present moment of reality. We are still and always in the midst of a turbulent journey through the wilderness on a wild spinning planet, hurtling through time and space. And just as the letters of the word speech, midaber, are inside the word midbar, wilderness, we wander through a thicket of language conditioned by our life and times, our ancestors, and our human condition. Our practice opens us to God's assessment of the daughters. God says, yes, they speak, Ken. Rightly, fairly, justly, beautifully. They stand in their land, a a land that is inside us, even if we are not always in that land. Zornberg writes, for the first time in the Book of Bamidbar, whose main issue has been the issue of debor, of speaking and misspeaking, for the first time in that 40-year chronicle of unhappy human forays into the realm of language, God congratulates human beings, on the felicity and the aptness of their words. A couple of weeks ago, when my Harvard magazine arrived, there's an incredible article that I want to point out that I think you can access online by Erica Chenoweth. In Harvard magazine, it's entitled, The Professor Who Quantified Democracy. So our practice then is to honor everything we see inside and out of outside us, brazen selfishness, brutal cruelty, and the never fully occluded well of caring that we have for each other and for all life. Let's pause for a minute or seconds before.